Good morning. When Dawn asked me if I would preach during this series, I was surprised. When I called her to protest, she said, "Let's talk before you give an answer." In our conversation, she said that because of my role as leadership group chair during a time when many things were happening in our congregational life, she thought I would be one who could share from my experience what I learned as we faced a time of turmoil, sadness, joy, and many, many decisions. So, rather than a sermon this morning, you will be hearing my reflections about listening with God to each other in our discernment. From the beginning, Assembly has valued discernment as a way to seek and to do God's will. As a reminder, let me share a bit from our handbook. Think of our discerning like this. God is singing a song of steadfast love and mercy, of righteousness and peace, a song that God yearns for the whole universe to join in singing, adding complex harmonies and improvising a joyous dance. When we discern, we listen carefully in order to sort out what is God singing and what is mere static and noise. Some of the characteristics of this process include, as a congregation, we together make decisions on choice of leadership, ethical issues, congregational character and activities, vision and future direction, and giving and receiving counsel with the larger church. But not all decisions are made by the whole congregation. We have given the leadership group authority for leading us, for prioritizing decisions that need to be made, and determining the approach to be used for making those decisions. Some decisions will be delegated to committees or to individuals, and some will be brought to the congregation as a whole. We make most congregational decisions by consensus. Consensus does not equal uniformity. Sometimes we actually reach uniformity, but more often we reach a decision that we all are at least able to live with. We depend on small group discussions and congregational meetings to help move us toward a common mind through lively discussion, exploration of hesitations and questions, and openness to the Spirit. Participation in decision-making is a strong value for us. Reading from 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Well, because I am not a foot, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body are all indispensable. All participants are invited to attend congregational meetings, to be part of a small group, and to provide personal feedback to all aspects of congregational life. Persons who are not able or choose not to attend are signaling their willingness to abide by decisions made by the group without them. Items for discussion always come to the congregation twice before a decision is called for. For some, this seems like a very tedious and slow process. But for others, It is a helpful way to be fully engaged with this living, changing body of people. Okay, so how does that relate to my experience as a congregational leader? Just to remind you, and maybe to inform some who are newer here, in August of 2011, I had been on the leadership group for 2 years, and I became chair that fall. As a congregation, that spring, we had released Mary Lehman Yoder from service as our pastor of worship and pastoral care, which she had held for more than 15 years, so that she could spend more time with Michael. We had called Carmen Horst in an interim role of pastoral care. We had a search committee in place to call a pastor to serve with Carl Shelley and Heidi Siemens Rhodes on the pastoral team. We were in the midst of deciding whether to deal with our overcrowding by dividing into two congregations, have two worship services, or renovate and add to our current building. This included discussions with Walnut Hill about their growing needs for expansion. Then, in September, we received the devastating news that Heidi had terminal cancer. That began a roller coaster of emotions and many changes. Over the next 2 years, we made numerous decisions about who we wanted to be as a congregation, as more people were drawn to join us, including many with young children. We reaffirmed our decision to have Walnut Hill as part of our mission to care for the children in our broader community. We also faced Heidi's death, which meant we needed to broaden our search to call two permanent pastors. As health issues shortened Carmen's interim pastorate, we made a number of decisions about calling several other interim pastors to meet the needs of the congregation until the new pastoral team could be formed. We also finally blessed Carl to take his long overdue and several times postponed sabbatical. When I became chair, I asked myself, how did I get here? Can I do this? Will I be up to the challenges ahead? I had to remind myself that I was called by this congregation to do this task at this time. Let me reread the scripture we heard earlier from Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think too highly of yourself, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. So it wasn't about me. I wasn't alone in this. There were others with gifts that I lacked who were in this with me. We were many people, but one body. So we continued our journey as a congregation. I learned an awful lot during those 2 years. The one theme that seems to run through all of the things I learned is the importance of communication, listening to and really hearing each other. Some of the things I learned. First, prayer does matter. I am somewhat baffled when I hear people say they don't think prayer really does anything. Knowing that others were praying for me gave me courage when times were difficult. It reminded me that I am part of a caring community. I think we should pray often for our pastors and lay leaders, not just in our personal prayers, nor leave it up to this prayer group to do it all. But we should do it together, out loud, in our corporate worship. Another thing I was reminded of is how important trust is. We ask people to lead us, to do tasks on our behalf. We need to let them do it. And then when they share their discernment with us, we need to listen and to ask good questions. Learning to know one another also leads to trust. Of course, this requires listening, and not only listening, but actually hearing what the other is saying. I think about the bear from the story Kyle told the children last week. Bear had a problem, and when he tried to share it, everyone listened through their own circumstance and lens and provided solutions to their perception of what Bear's problem was. Are we able to put aside our own prejudices and perceptions long enough to really hear our brothers and sisters? We also need to show that we deserve that trust through our words and actions. I remember near the beginning coming home from leadership group one night and saying to Ben, "I don't think Carl quite trusts me to do this job." Now, I've never talked to Carl about this, so I really don't know what he was thinking at that time. I do know that he was dealing with a heavy load, the loss of one colleague and the coming loss of the other colleague, as well as frequently changing interim pastors. It wasn't his job to take care of me. I and the other elders were there to support him. And through working together, I began to feel that he did trust me and that I was making a helpful contribution. One of the hardest times came when Heidi's illness had progressed to the point that she was no longer able to do her job. Her very strong desire to be our pastor until the day she died made it difficult to know how to proceed to honor her wishes and to also care for the congregation's needs at that time and in the future. Carl, Jody, and I met with Heidi and Mitch. I went into that meeting not knowing what I was going to say, but knowing that God was with us. It was a holy moment for me. We were able to release Heidi from her day-to-day responsibilities, reassure her that she was loved, and would be our pastor until her last breath. But we were also able to help her see the need for us to begin to search for her replacement. That day was definitely listening with God to each other. I also learned how important it was to reach out to people, to show support, to express gratitude, to ask questions. It is also part of the conversation and trust that I've already mentioned. It was really helpful to me when people reached out to me in the same way, expressing gratitude for what I was doing and offering their prayers of support. I know when we have competent people doing their jobs well, we often forget how hard it may be for them. During this time, Carl was the lone constant on the pastoral team. He worked with Carmen, with Bethany Swope, with Laura Nofsinger, with Gwen Gustafson-Zook, with Jennifer Nofsinger, and Dawn Yoder-Harms. Each time someone left or someone joined, it was a new team. They needed to learn to know each other, to rebuild the team, and learn to work together. All of that can be fun and challenging, but in reality, it's also very time-consuming and difficult and exhausting. But Carl worked through all of this, and I trust that we were able to provide the support he needed during that time. And again, it wasn't just up to me. A number of times when things were really difficult, I called the elders together between our regular meetings to talk about what we should do next. How are we going to provide for the care of the congregation? How to support our pastors during this challenging time? And what decisions we should make ourselves and which ones we should bring to the congregation? After Carmen resigned to spend more time with her father, who had been diagnosed with cancer, we did not know where to turn next. We still fortunately had Bethany Swope on the team and doing many of Heidi's doing many parts of Heidi's job. Many people also within the congregation had taken on additional assignments, but we needed more than that. If we were going to meet the congregational needs and keep Carl from burning out, we needed another pastor until our permanent team was in place. It was answered prayer that we were able to invite Jennifer Gingrich, who was just finishing at the seminary, to delay her plans and to come work with us until Dawn was ready to come. She had done her minister in the church internship with us. Because she knew the congregation, she was able to step in and get right to work. Congregational decision-making is hard. The larger the congregation, the more cumbersome it may seem. But decisions that affect who we are, how we meet the community and the world, and how we use our resources, how we and our children continue to be God's people, need support from everyone. It requires that those same people are given and take the opportunity to help make the decisions. Can we listen with God to each other in our discernment? As a congregation, we continue to make decisions. We've had many heartfelt and differing opinions expressed about our relationship with our two conferences and the broader church. By carefully listening to one another with God, we have been able to reach consensus, not unity, but consensus about what to do and be at that time, at this time. Being involved with the building project, I am aware of how much needs to be done, how many decisions need to be made, how hard the Renovation Task Force group has been working on plans, first with Walnut Hill in mind, and then after they decided to leave, how were we going to continue to serve the needs that we had, and thinking ahead into what the community might need. They plan, with the help of the architect, to bring a plan for the congregation's evaluation very soon. There have been, and will continue to be, questions, concerns, objections, and affirmations. It takes some grace to work through all of that. Everyone's participation is desired. Is it harder to do as we grow larger? Are people too busy? Do our families and jobs require most of our attention? Probably. Is our decision making any less important? I don't think so. As we are larger and more diverse, it becomes easier, though, for some to say, oh, there are plenty of people working on this. They don't need my opinion. Or, I don't have money to contribute to this project, so maybe I shouldn't give any input on what we do. Or, you know, I feel really differently than most people, so maybe I should just keep quiet. How do we respond to these comments? Are we open to hearing them? I go to congregational meetings. I know that many assembly participants are not there. But that's not an indictment. It's just an observation. I think we need to continue to do much of the work in small groups so that all who want to be heard have an opportunity. When persons can't or choose not to participate in congregational discernment, they may feel less ownership in the decision, but they still have the responsibility to support the decisions that are made. Is our discernment process perfect? Of course not. Is it important to keep working at it? Of course. Can we do it alone? I don't think so. I think we need to remember to listen with God to each other. When we invite God into the conversation, it changes the nature of the conversation. We are a community of people, a community of God's people, caring enough about one another to really listen to each other as God listens to us.